big show coming your way today. We'll be joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report to talk about the NFL draft in just about a minute. He does a great job. He's in the midst of ranking the top 400 guys in the NFL right now, in the NFL draft right now, position by position. He has his big board mock draft. And Lance will try to get a feel now, less than 2 weeks away from the first night of the draft, where teams are starting to lean now in terms of what players are going
to
pick.
Plus, we'll start to hear more about potential trades as well. I think the last few days we've heard that there could be movement at the number two spot with respect to Tennessee. Adrian Peterson was just reinstated. Perhaps he's on the block. If somebody grabs him, would they have to part ways with a high first-round pick? I think a lot of those storylines are certainly going to impact perhaps who may fall to the Giants at number nine.
Well, and that's where I want to start with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. He joins us now. Matt was kind enough to join us at the NFL Combine. He joins us again less than 14 days before the first night of the draft. Matt, it's coming fast and furious. We're into the final stretch run here, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm living on coffee right now, so I'm anxious. Like, I love the draft. It's my Christmas. You know, it's like my favorite time of year, but I'm also really looking forward to the little bit of a downturn after the fact.
Do you have your vacation planned yet?
Oh, yeah, I do, actually. So that's what everyone asks. They're like, are you ready for vacation? And I've already have a couple planned. I'm ready for it.
Wait, very so good. That means that, Matt, that following the 2015 draft, you don't already start ranking 2016 players? I thought there is no such thing as a vacation when it comes to that.
Here's the truth. I've finished my big board for 2015, so I have actually started my 2016 work.
There you go.
I'll have a mock draft out and a big board out the week after the draft, so it never stops. I'm on the same schedule as your guys' team scouts are. I'm already looking ahead to next year.
You're a sick, sick man. Let's get to it. Thursday night, less than 2 weeks away. I want to get right to it here, Matt, and I think your most recent mock draft was maybe a week ago, maybe a little sooner than that. You don't need to assign players to teams right now, but who do you think is going to be the top eight players off the board when the draft begins 13 days from today?
I love that question. I like that. I think Jameis Winston, obviously, Leonard Williams, Marcus Mariota, Dante Fowler, Kevin White, and Amari Cooper, Vic Beasley, and what? I need one more, right? And I'll say, oh, geez, one more.
This is where it gets tough. This is where it gets tough.
I think Alvin Dupree.
Oh, wow, you think Bud Dupree's rising that far and fast on NFL draft boards, huh?
Yeah, I like Dupree, and he has so much potential. But I think with Randy Gregory's failed drug test and the worry that there's more of that in his background, and Shane Ray's being a smaller guy and didn't have a great combine or pro day, I think those two things could push them down, and Bud Dupree could rise up.
One thing I'm hearing about Shane Ray, which I think is interesting, the more people watch him, you know, he had the great numbers, he had the great sack numbers, can get after the quarterback. I've heard the phrase one-trick pony come up a lot with him, where if he doesn't beat you with speed, he doesn't have those secondary and, you know, tertiary moves to beat the offensive tackle once he starts getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it's tough when scouting that you focus so much on what a guy does. You know, like you said, the speed is great, anticipation off the snap, that first step quickness. But you do ultimately get into, will this work in the NFL? And that's for pass rushers, quarterbacks, everyone. And so it is important for guys to learn how to use their hands, how to find that secondary move, because when you're going against someone like Tyron Smith of the Dallas Cowboys, who is quick and able to cut off that edge, what are you going to do? How do you counter him? So it is. It's easy to fall in love with that initial thing a player does well, but for pass rushers, they have to have a plan, as people say. They have to know what they're going to do if the outside speed move doesn't work. And right now, he really doesn't have that counter move.
Talking with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Matt, you just listed eight players who you think are going to be off the board before the Giants then selected number nine. Obviously, it's a game of speculation. The Giants usually have the philosophy, best player available. But, you know, if you were to hone in on perhaps one or two guys in particular, or at least value at the number nine spot, who would you pinpoint that would be an excellent fit for the Giants?
Well, I really like Brandon Scherff, the offensive lineman from Iowa, played left tackle for them. I think he's probably a left guard in the NFL, a mauler in the run game, super physical, very good athlete. I think when we look at his 2004 tape, he played You know, he played the week he had a scope on his knee, so it wasn't his best year. 2013, he was dominant, and he could maybe play tackle in a pinch, but he kind of fits that mold of versatile offensive lineman. I still think that a big outside receiver like Devontae Parker could be in need. You know, we know that Jerry Reese has that philosophy of getting the playmaker if he's available, and Devontae Parker would be a playmaker. You know, Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr., great receivers, but not great size. And I think Reuben Randall is still, you know, trying to find his place. So if you could get someone like Devontae Parker, who is such a threat in the end zone with his size and his leaping ability, he would really round out that offense very, very well.
I want to touch on a couple guys that would be on the board in your scenario, Matt, on the defensive side of the ball. One player I've seen some Giant fans get excited about is Danny Shelton. They think he'll be a very good complement to Jonathan Hankins, a defensive tackle for the Giants, the big nose tackle. Another guy is Trey Waynes, the top-rated corner out of Michigan State, who really, to me, doesn't have a whole lot of holes in his game, if any. And then you mentioned the two pass rushers that you don't see going off the board in the top eight, Ray and, of course, Randy Gregory. What do you think of those four? Are they in the neighborhood for the Giants there, or do you think they're in that next tier of players down?
No, I think they're all in the neighborhood. And I would throw Marcus Peters, the corner from Washington, in there. I have him rated as the top corner in the draft.
Wow.
There are the off-field issues. You know, he was dismissed from Washington midseason, but I've actually had the opportunity to talk to him and his coaches, both staffs, this year's staff and the staff that was there before with Steve Sarkisian. And the players he played with love him. Danny Shelton loves him, you know, really gave a lot of good insight into what type of teammate he is. So I like Marcus Peters there. Randy Gregory is another one. If you're comfortable with the off-field issues, you could get a Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber player. And he's a very, very good football player. You just have to know what you're getting in terms of the off-field personality. Danny Shelton would actually be a surprise to me because it kind of goes away from how the Giants have valued the defensive line in the past. You know, getting a true nose tackle, a guy who's really only capable, I think, of playing the zero and the one technique, even though he plays them really well, that seems more like a luxury pick at nine overall instead of a good value for them. So that would be a surprise for me. And then Shane Ray is a smaller guy than what they've targeted in the past at defensive end. And I really like Robert Ayers and Jason Pierre-Paul as the starters. You have DeMontre Moore, who was a third-round pick a few years ago. So that wouldn't be as much as a surprise, but it would definitely be one of those, hey, this is the best player on our board, and we're just going for value type picks.
You mentioned Brandon Scherff, and a lot of Giant fans seem to have the idea, and I'm not quite sure why, I've tried to dispel this notion, that that's a need pick at number nine, and it's not a value pick. How do you rate Scherff on your big board in terms of overall talent in this draft class this year?
Well, I'm crazy, probably. I have him at number seven overall, so I really like his ability. And, you know, to explain that further, he's in a group with Todd Gurley, Randy Gregory, and Devontae Parker. They all have the same grade. So you could say he's anywhere from 7 to 10 on my board. But he is – I think he would be a value pick, like you said. I don't know that that's a huge need pick with Jeff Schwartz coming back healthy, you know, with the idea that Wester Rickberg's going to take that next step and become a stud at center like I thought he could have been coming out of college. And you have, you know, Justin Pugh at right tackle, Will Beatty at left tackle, obviously. So I'm not sure that Scherff is a need pick, especially if guard is one of those areas where the team decides they have to add a player this year. The depth at guard is pretty good. You could look at round three and get a player who, you know, maybe is never going to be as good as Scherff, but a guy like Laken Tomlinson from Duke could be a really good player. And in round three, you're able to knock off a couple other positions before you go that route.
In terms of the ideal position for Scherff moving forward, do you see him, though, potentially as a guy that could play left tackle or at least right tackle? Because, you know, there's a debate as to his translation from the collegiate level to the NFL level, like a Zach Martin, for example, Matt, who was a tackle at Notre Dame. Cowboys needed to find the spot for him. They put him at guard. What about Scherff becoming a tackle at perhaps a Pro Bowl level even in the NFL?
I think he can play tackle. I'm one of the few people out there who I've talked to that actually thinks he could survive a tackle and be very good. I think the difference is being a very good left tackle or an all-pro left guard. So it's maybe a higher projection for him at guard, but he could be a very good tackle. No, I mentioned it earlier. I think his 2014 tape, I think, is skewed because of the knee injury. I don't think he was ever completely healthy, even though he was playing. And so he started to, you know, overset a little bit. And you saw him struggle with speed rushers to the outside. And that's because of that need to, you know, put weight on the knee to balance on the edge. But I think he could do it. He's freakishly strong, quick, and upside. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, has a tennis background, you know, tight end background. He's still a little bit raw in terms of what type of player he could be long term.
We're joined by Matt Miller, covers the draft for Bleacher Report. Matt, I want to shift gears here now. We talked about where the Giants picking at 9 in round number 1. Let's shift to where you think might be a good value selection in round 2. A lot of Giant fans are very concerned about the safety position right now. I'm not sure what you think about Landon Collins. I'd love to hear it. Where do you think he might go? And when the Giants get there in the second round, do you think that there's a safety with enough value that could be a Giant selection in the second round? And if not, where do you think there might be over the course of the draft?
You know, when I first started looking at the safety class, I really didn't like it. And I was kind of all in on Landon Collins and not really on anyone else. The more time I had throughout the process, I started to come down on Landon Collins a little bit to where I think he's probably a late first-round pick. So the Giants are picking there at 40. It's not completely out of the question that he would be there. It is a bit of a stretch, maybe a bit of a hope and dream, but it is possible. And now I think, let's say Landon Collins is off the board and safety is the route they want to go in round 2. There are some very good safeties who could be available. I think that starts with Demarius Randall, the free safety from Arizona State. Very, very productive guy. Could play single high free safety. Could play in a double safety set. Could play in the nickel. He is an exciting player. I think Jaquiski Tartt, the strong safety from Stanford, he is one of the best hitters in this year's class. You know, 6'1", 221 pounds. He can play single high safety. He can play down in the box. He can play, you know, if you want to go three safety look, he can help you there. And then Jerod Holloman from Louisville led the nation with 14 interceptions this year, came out as a redshirt sophomore. Not a great tackler, but elite in coverage and kind of has some of those Devin McCourty qualities where his instincts and his ability to just float to the ball as a free safety playing center field are pretty legendary. And the 14 interceptions, those weren't gimmies. They weren't things where, you know, the quarterback just blew the ball to him. If you watch against Florida State, he read Jameis Winston and picked him off twice. So he's a pretty impressive player. He'd definitely be there for you guys to pick number 40.
Matt, you threw out Demarius Randall from Arizona State. He's appealing, as you mentioned, because he's a free safety. And if you look at the Giants roster right now, they have strong safeties. They don't necessarily have a free safety. You recently wrote an article where you put 5 players you thought were on the rise. Randall's on that list. What in particular? I know you talked about some of his assets, but why in recent weeks has all of a sudden his stock started to increase?
Well, I think teams are starting to look at the safety class and realize that there are some holes, that it's not a great class overall. And so when you go back and recheck Demarius Randall, you're going to see a player who's very aggressive. He has the ability to flip the field and create turnovers, and he's versatile. So he can play free safety, strong safety, or as that nickel corner. And, you know, I compared him to Tyrann Mathieu in terms of playing style. I know some people have said Jimmy Ward. Others have said, you know, kind of a like Earl Thomas's little brother. So I think he also fits that mold of what's trendy in the NFL right now. You know, a fast, aggressive free safety who can tackle, who's going to give you production there, and then is also, you know, capable of creating turnovers and being such an asset there. So I think Randall has, you know, he's a three-tool player, and he checks all those boxes that teams want right now. So it's kind of a perfect storm for him.
We're joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. He does a great job covering the draft. Matt, it seems like though the number of traditional 4-3 linebackers that play inside, you know, is not real high in this draft, there seems to be a sweet spot for the guys that are going to come out to get picked in that second to third round area. Is that where you see the Kendricks, the Perrymans, the McKinneys, the Alexanders, the Dawsons? Is that the range that you see those guys going on day 2 of the draft?
It is, and if they could go high, I think Eric Kendricks and Paul Dawson could go early second round. And, you know, the same for Denzel Perryman. He could go early as well. Bernardrick McKinney, I think you could even throw Stephon Anthony from Clemson in there as a possibility. But I talked to one team, not the Giants, team on the West Coast, they don't have a linebacker, an inside linebacker, rated in their top two rounds, which is different from myself. I have five of them in the second round. So I think there's a wide range of opinion on how good the inside linebackers are in this class because the top guys are all small. You know, Paul Dawson, 6 foot, 235 pounds, and he ran a 4.9 at the combine. So they're all small. There's no elite athlete in this year's class at that position. So I do think it's possible that, that they get pushed down and players, you know, at like safety and receiver and offensive tackle start to move up on draft day.
Matt, earlier you mentioned the eight players who you think are going to be off the board before the Giants selected nine. There's a lot of trade speculation out there with respect to the Titans at number two, where Marcus Mariota may go. If you had to select one team right now in the top eight that you think would likely move out and make a trade, who would that be?
I think the Titans. I do think they want to get out of that pick. And I've heard, personally, I've heard the Browns are very interested in Marcus Mariota. They're just afraid of what it will cost to get up there. There's the San Diego Chargers rumor. And then I think you have to look at a team like New Orleans with two picks. Would they be willing to try to get a blue chip player instead of two potential starters? So they're definitely a team to look at. But I can see Tennessee trading out. I can see the Oakland Raiders trading out at pick number four. And then I think you look at the New York Jets at pick number six. They're definitely a team that they could try to add more talent and get, you know, a lot of extra picks instead of just going for that one guy.
Now, with that being said, you threw out three different teams. Would that impact any of the players being taken if you see some movement in the first eight selections, or is it just a matter of teams switching spots yet the same players going off the board?
Probably more just teams switching spots. You know, I think the ideal scenario for Giants fans is that Marcus Mariota goes in the first eight picks, and maybe someone trades up for him or whatever, but you want him off the board because that means – a better receiver or a better edge rusher or a better offensive lineman or corner, a better player is going to get pushed down to you guys at pick number nine. So the hope, I think, for Giants fans, you're going to want to see some trades in the first round to get guys up there. But there are, you know, probably 10 or 11 top-tier players in this draft. So where you guys are at nine is a good spot. There's going to be a player worthy of that pick that's going to be there, I think, when it all comes down to it.
Joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. And, Matt, you mentioned the possibility of Devontae Parker being a target for the Giants at number nine. I want to drop down a little bit here. Though this wide receiver class, you know, maybe not as talented as last year, just might have been the best wide receiver draft class in the history of the NFL. What receivers, if you're picking around two, three, even four, that stick out to you that say, wow, this guy would be a great person to target. He could be a great value for you in those middle rounds.
Yeah, I think Nelson Agholor from USC is going to shock people with how good of a pro he is, and he might be a late first, early second-round player. Philip Dorsett from the University of Miami. I talked earlier about how the Giants' receivers are kind of small and fast, and that's Philip Dorsett. You know, he's 5'10", but he is a burner, averaged around 25 yards per touch at Miami, and they didn't have a great offense there. So he was really a one-man show at times. If you look at the bigger receivers, Devin Funchess from Michigan, who played some tight end, played some receiver, definitely would give you guys some size. Devin Smith from Ohio State, who was just, you know, on fire to end of the season for them. Once Cardale Jones started airing the ball out, he really, really showed up. So he's a very good deep ball receiver, someone who can stretch the field. And then I think when you get down to like round three, there is a bit of a drop-off at the receiver position, but you start to look at Rashad Green from Florida State, who's a great route runner. Sammy Coates from Auburn, who's a big guy with deep speed. Or Trey McBride from William & Mary, who is a small school guy but very well-rounded. And I really like Tyler Lockett from Kansas State as a slot receiver who, not great size, but he's going to beat you down the field.
This might be a strange question, Matt, but I think you'll understand why I'm asking it after I do. Why is Breshad Perryman not Darius Hayward Bay?
That's a great question. I want to know the answer to that myself. or Stephen Hill, even.
Yep.
I'm not a Breshad Perryman fan as a player. I've never met the kid. I hope he's a great human being. I loved watching his dad play when I was a kid, but I'm very scared of him as a prospect. Of the receivers that I've looked at this year, and I think there were like 55 of them, he dropped a higher ratio of passes than any receiver that I looked at. And that terrifies me, because what is a receiver if he can't catch and if he can't run crisp routes? Perryman ran two routes at Central Florida, a slant route and a go route. So, yes, he's big, 6'2", 212. Yes, he runs a 4.26 40 at his pro day. But I think right now he's a lot more hype than substance. And I know Mel Kiper has him as a top 10 pick. I respect the heck out of Mel Kiper. I wouldn't have a job if he didn't exist, but I disagree with him pretty strongly on that one. I think Perriman is closer to a mid-second round type player.
Matt, earlier John had mentioned last year's wide receiver class, so much depth, so much production across the board. You know, you talked earlier about the safety spot, may not be much depth there. What position is there an immense amount of depth this season where, you know what, you could get a steal perhaps when you get into that fourth, fifth round range, and you could get a potential, not necessarily a starter, but at least a guy off the bench that you know could produce in year one?
The running back class this year is amazing. I think that you hit on it. There are guys in rounds four or five who could be starters. David Johnson from Northern Iowa, or Carlos Williams from Florida State, Mike Davis from South Carolina. There are a lot of very good running backs in this year's class. I want to say that I gave 11 running backs a grade of this guy could be a starter at some point.
Wow.
And then there was like one or two more guys that were like, okay, he might not ever be a number one running back, but he's going to see a lot of touches as a receiver, a runner, a returner. So it's a great running back class. If the Giants decide, hey, we want to pick up another guy in the mid-rounds like we did Andre Williams last year, this would be the year to do it.
All right, final question for me. We're joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Matt, we talked about the potential of Brandon Scherff being there for the Giants at 9. Let's say theoretically, and I think this is well within the realm of possibility, he's off the board when the Giants get there at number 9, and they decide to address their offensive line concerns a little bit later in the draft. Who do you think of that second group of offensive linemen, the Andres Peets, the T.J. Clemens, the Eric Flowers, who everyone seems to be falling in love with the more they see him and his potential, the Lyle Collins, the D.J. Humphreys, or even maybe you know the group below that? Who could be a target for the Giants in round 2 at 40 or even round 3 that you think could step in and be a contributor right away, whether it's a guard or a tackle?
Well, I think Eric Flowers, that's where he should be drafted. I know, like you said, people are falling in love with him, but He needs some work, but I think he could come in and play right away, especially at right tackle. It's a perfect world. That's where he plays right away. I like, as a third-round player, I really like Ali Marpet from Hobart. Maybe he's a guard. Maybe he's a tackle. He's kind of in that, you know, Zach Martin, Brandon Scherff, Joel Batonio world of he's versatile, can play a couple different spots. Tyson Brelo from Colorado State could come in and play right tackle or guard right away. And he's a guy in that probably third-round range who I really like. He doesn't get a ton of hype because he's not a great athlete, but he's a finisher. He's kind of a mean, nasty player and not someone I would want to bet against having a really long career.
Matt, before we let you go, John just mentioned a number of offensive linemen that could very well go right after Scherff. With your analyzation, how much of a drop-off, in your opinion, is there from Scherff to, let's say, the next first rounder when it comes to offensive linemen? Is it a huge one, or, I mean, are we talking about a very small type of sample size here?
I think that it's a decent drop-off. It's not huge. It's not like, you know, the gap between Marcus Mariota and Bryce Petty or anything. But I have Scherff at number 7 overall, and then I have, like, D.J. Humphreys and Lyle Collins and Andres Peets. They're right in that, like, 20 to 25 range. So there is a bit of a drop-off. But it's not so big that, you know, let's say they wanted to trade down to, you know, pick 15 for whatever reason. There should still be a good offensive lineman who could have a day one impact on the board.
Matt, we appreciate the time. We want to catch up again either right after the draft, as long as it's before you go on your vacation and you shut the brain down until you get to 2016, all right? We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Matt.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
That's Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Very kind to give us a lot of time here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Does a tremendous job. Great information. Great stuff. And again, we'll try to catch up with Matt a little bit later on. Maybe it's after the draft. We can go over who the Giants picked and get his opinion on who the Giants decide to go with in the 2015 NFL Draft. And